You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I don't have to tell anybody in this room that the 2020 election is the most consequential election, certainly in the modern history in America, and quite possibly in the history of America. I'm not a historian, but that may be the case. And to my mind, this election is about two fundamental issues. First, it is absolutely imperative for the future of this country that we defeat the most dangerous president.
Here we are, February 3rd, 2020. This is Iowa Caucus Day. That's Bernie Sanders speaking last night. We gotta beat Trump. It's the most crucial election in our world. And you know what? Trump would be glad to go up against Bernie. And more numbers are showing that Bernie is moving higher up the list. More evidence that Bernie is indeed gaining strength, jumping toward the front, closer and closer, maybe in the front in some polls. Now, last week, Dr. Gerard Lamero, who does model forecasting, predicted at that time, he said, it's going to be Bernie Sanders against Donald Trump. We were going to schedule Dr. Lamero today, but we kind of got started on late, so we're going to book him for tomorrow. So we'll get into that in more detail. But at the same time this is going on, it is clear that those inside the Democrat Party are plotting against Bernie. Once again, Bernie should be crying out, I'm being cut down by my own party. It happened when he ran against Hillary Clinton, because suddenly she had control of more of the DNC money. It's happening again. Oh, and Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg, is now getting special treatment from the Democrats. He's buying his way into this election. Make no mistake about it. We'll get into that in more detail. But he is basically buying his way in, and that would be to the detriment of Bernie Sanders and the other Democrats that think they have a good chance of winning. And of course, this being the Iowa caucus today, everyone will be watching tonight to see how it happens, what comes out of it. The Des Moines Register had a poll, a crucial Iowa poll, which they were going to release. But they now announced they cannot release that Iowa poll. They claim that one of the candidates' name was left out of the polling questions. Reportedly, according to the New York Times, the candidate left out was former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Do you think they really left his name out by mistake, or did they leave it out because they just didn't think much of him? Or then they suddenly decided, we don't like the way this poll is going, so we're going to make up an excuse and say we're pulling it back because it's showing Bernie doing better than they wanted? We're going to spend a considerable amount of time on Bernie Sanders in this hour, but we got a lot more to cover. Congressman Adam Schiff, his lips are moving, which means, once again, he's lying. We're going to get into that and talk about if Joe Biden is elected, maybe the next impeachment will be to impeach Joe Biden. He's not going to be elected. But go ahead, let's take that down. Let's consider that route and take a closer look at it. So did you watch the Super Bowl last night, the halftime? Is that too sexy for children? I'm thinking it is. And what happened to the hashtag MeToo, protect women? Look, I appreciate great choreography. And Shakira, she can dance and she can move it. So can J-Lo. But maybe a little too sexy for children that are watching. Dave writing in from West Beach, Vero Beach, I should say, in Florida, because I'd mentioned once before to Quentin, my director, said, you keep your eye on me. You never know. You got to watch me closer than you watch the girls on the dance pole. Dave wrote in, said, hey, Larry, we're watching you closer than watching those ridiculous pole dancers during halftime last night. Thanks, David. Oh, and President Trump did tweet out, a mistake. He said, I want to congratulate the Kansas City Chiefs, and you did great for the state of Kansas. Mr. President, it's Missouri. He made a mistake. And, of course, the Democrats are eating that up. And, in fact, former Senator, Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill said, it's Missouri, you stone-cold idiot. She never called out Obama for anything like that. Not in those words. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Tomorrow night is the beginning.
Yes.
It is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. It is the beginning of the moment when we tell the billionaire class and the 1%. This country belongs to all of us, not just a few.
So that is Bernie Sanders last night talking about the Iowa caucus today. Again, Bernie is making headway in Iowa. Some of the latest polls out, and one of them actually being thrown aside, supposedly. Supposedly because Pete Buttigieg was left off the survey. Or was it really because it made Bernie look even stronger and the Des Moines Register just decided to walk away from that poll, ditch it? But he's obviously shaking other Democrat candidates as well. And in fact, according to Politico, a handful of Democrat National Committee members are already exploring the possibility of changing the rules to potentially weaken Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign going into the convention. Of course, that's going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in July. Reportedly, they're trying to adjust the current policy, which prevents DNC members and top party officials from voting on the first ballot. That move would effectively boost the influence of superdelegates and potentially damage Bernie Sanders' chances of becoming the party's nominee. I kind of feel bad for Bernie. I do. I don't want him to be president, obviously. He's communist, certainly socialist. But the bottom line is, this guy can't win inside his own party because they keep changing the rules on him. And I haven't gotten yet to what they're going to do for Bloomberg. We'll get into that a little bit later here as well. But what we have going on right now is whatever they can do to keep Bernie from grabbing the banner, because they know if Bernie Sanders ends up leading and carrying the Democrat banner, they will lose. The Democrats will lose and the party will cease to exist, which again is something that Dr. Gerard Lamero, we've had on previously, had forecast several months ago, that the Democrat Party was changing and not going to be the same old Democrat Party. He'd said the same thing about the Republican Party when Donald Trump surfaced, and sure enough, that also came true. But of course, Bernie, the best thing he can do right now, he's not firing at the other candidates in his party at this point directly, but he's got others doing some of the work for him. Some of his supporters growing frustrated with the DNC, obviously. And of course, you got Chairman Tom Perez appointed former Hillary Clinton surrogates who obviously are against Sanders to the Rules Committee. Former Massachusetts lawmaker Barney Frank named as a co-chair of the Rules Committee. Clinton former campaign manager John Podesta appointed to the same committee. And Sanders national co-chair Nina Turner said, "It's very disappointing to see Chairman Perez build a list of this magnitude. The DNC should be ashamed of itself because it really is a slap in the face to folks of what we're asking for reform. If the DNC believes it's going to get away in 2020 with what it did in 2016, it has another thing coming." She went, according to the DNC spokesman, David Bergenstein, his response for on behalf of Tom Perez is, "The DNC chairman fought tooth and nail to ensure our nominee would be chosen by pledged delegates, not automatic delegates. And they claim the rules are making our party stronger, helping ensure our eventual nominee has the full support of the party behind them." This is, again, an effort to cut down Bernie Sanders. His rise in both early state and national polls, leading in Iowa just days ahead of the caucus, according to the Real Clear Politics average. An NBC News Wall Street Journal survey released last Friday showing Sanders edging out Biden for first place, 27% to 26%. So Bernie is letting his people fight that battle for him. He's trying to stay focused on what he sees in front of him. And what he's got to do is convince everybody that I can beat Donald Trump. And of course, he likes to point out how Bernie is a guy who can bring everyone together, although he obviously can't inside his own party, while Trump is divisive.
"I promise to you that as president, our administration will bring our people together. Bring our people together, black and white and Latino, Native American, Asian American, gay or straight. We're going to bring our people together around an agenda that works for all of us, not just the 1%.
Bernie, you left out old white men. You didn't mention old white men, which would be you and Joe Biden and Bloomberg. But he's saying, he said that I will bring everybody back together, that Trump's divisive. And there goes that race-baiting call again. They like to throw it out any time and every time they can because the crowd loves it. When you start talking about how Trump hates Latinos, hates blacks, hates anyone but himself, they applaud, they cheer, they jump up and down in joy. And Bernie's capitalizing on that the best he can. And, of course, he's got this other issue which he brings to the forefront, which, again, goes over well with the left. It does.
"Unlike Donald Trump, we know that climate change is not a hoax. It is an incredibly dangerous reality for our country and the world. And we are prepared to take on the fossil fuel industry and transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy.
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering if Hunter Biden was applauding at that remark, because he's getting a lot of money from Burisma, an oil and fossil fuel company, which Daddy Biden says, hey, we're going to get rid of those. We can tell our coal miners you need to learn to code computers. But at the same time, his son is counting on money he's getting from oil, fossil fuel companies. But Bernie and the left continue to wave the climate change banner. And we all want our world to be in good shape for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. But most Americans, and I say most, I haven't seen a late survey on it, but while they will accept that, yeah, we might have some changes in climate, it is not due solely to man, and we don't really have a good handle on what's going on with this world when you look at the world since its existence. I pointed out this before. You can take a yardstick, and put a mustard seed at one end of the yardstick. That mustard seed represents all of Earth as we know it with mankind. The rest of it is before mankind surfaced. And we don't know what took place back then. They're going, looking at studies and so forth, but there's no clear, concise, comprehensive, cohesive understanding of any of that. But let them go ahead and beat on that drum, because that's fine. But Bernie does know that when it comes to Iowa, there's one thing he's got to have from those folks in Iowa.
Tomorrow night, please do your best not only to come out to caucus, bring your friends, bring your distant cousins, bring those people you haven't talked to in years, you know, and get them out to the caucus. Because here is the simple political truth. And I say this all over the state, and I believe it to be true. If the turnout tomorrow night is low, we're going to lose. If the turnout is high, we're going to win. So our job together is to create the highest turnout in the history of the Iowa caucus.
That will be interesting to see what kind of turnout they have. And I have no doubt if it really goes up, it's because Bernie and his grassroots campaign are exciting the Iowa voters. As I said earlier, the Des Moines Register and CNN had a poll, a crucial Iowa poll, which they were going to release, and then suddenly Saturday night decided it's not any good. We got to throw it out. And they claim, according to New York Times, that by mistake, how would you make this mistake? Pete Buttigieg's name was left off the ballot. So they say, well, it's incomplete, so it's not. His numbers wouldn't have shifted one way or the other. You could put him on or not put him on. They would be a small number. But they're claiming that that's a reason to throw it out. And I think it's because it's really showing Bernie is running away with it. You look at South Carolina. Biden is now only 5 points ahead of Bernie Sanders in the latest survey in South Carolina. This is where Biden had built a firewall of support among African Americans. But yesterday, the Charleston Post and Courier reported Biden, who once led by as much as 31 percentage points in South Carolina, holds a 5-point edge over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. The margin of error is 4 points. Biden is fading, Sanders is surging. President Trump appearing yesterday before the Super Bowl in a game, or rather an interview with Sean Hannity of Fox News, was asked directly for his view of Bernie.
Well, I think he's a communist. I mean, you know, look, I think of communism when I think of Bernie. Now, you could say socialist, but didn't he get married in Moscow? And that's wonderful. Moscow's wonderful.
Might have been the honeymoon.
You don't think necessarily, well, whatever, but you don't necessarily think in terms of marriage, Moscow. And it's wonderful. I'm not knocking it, but I think of Bernie sort of as a socialist, but far beyond a socialist.
Elizabeth Warren.
At least he's true to what he believes. That's one thing. Because you mentioned now Elizabeth Warren. She's not true to it. I call her fairy tale. Because everything's a fairy tale. That's how Pocahontas got started. Everything's a fairy tale. This woman can't tell the truth.
Now, Donald Trump, again, in talking about Bernie, was asked by Hannity, what about Elizabeth Warren? He threw them in. And that's fine, because both of them are the far, far left of what represents the Democrat Party at this point. Can either of them win? NBC's former nightly news anchor, Tom Brokaw, has his doubts about it. He said, I don't see how anyone would say they're for socialism given the nation's current economic position. And he said, frankly, as he appeared on Meet the Press, he said, frankly, among younger voters, that's a possibility for Bernie to get some of their support. But with a strong economy, it's really hard to see how a lot of people will step up and say, I'm for socialism. I want to change this because there are a lot of changes. Anyone out there that's making good money now, you want to go for socialism? You want to take whatever money you are making and decide you're going to split it up with 30 other families because they don't have as much? And for all the kids that are for socialism, you start saying, we're taking your phone away from you. You only get it one day out of the week and maybe half a day at that point because some kids don't have a cell phone. That's socialism. We'll take a break. We'll come back and tell you how the scene is being manipulated to help Michael Bloomberg.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I'll never dance with another.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, Democrat Michael Bloomberg wants to change the rules in the Democrat Party debates. They have a debate scheduled for the 19th of this month in Las Vegas. The standard had been to qualify to be on the debate stage, you had to raise money from individual donors, a certain amount by individual donors. So, we know it's the people supporting you, not you buy in the election. Well, here comes Michael Bloomberg, eighth richest man in the world. Are he spending $250, maybe $300 million at this point? $300 million. Oh, the DNC making some changes. Wonder why? Riddle me this. Well, Bloomberg contributed $180 million of his own money to his campaign the fourth quarter, according to the FEC. And he also contributed more than $1 million late last year to the party itself. Three donations of $106,000 to the DNC, another $800,000 to the Democrat Grassroots Victory Fund. And suddenly they decide, well, we're going to change things. The DNC is explaining it, saying, well, we don't really need to have the grassroots criteria at this stage for a donor threshold. You know what he did. You know what he did, and the other candidates know what he did. And in fact, the comments are coming out right away. Tulsi Gabbard said, billionaire Bloomberg just bought the DNC. A senior advisor, Bernie Sanders, said the rules change was evidence of a rigged system where the rich can buy their way in. Tom Steyer said they're changing the rules for a candidate who is ignoring early states voters and grassroots donors. They're all correct. They're all correct. The DNC and Bloomberg's campaign say, no, it's a new day. It's a new day. By the way, did you see that Super Bowl ad that Bloomberg spent something like $10 million on yesterday? It focused on the death of a George Kemp Jr., shot and killed 2013, and his mother narrating his story. Reportedly, he was 20 years old when he was killed in what the court believed was a gang-related shooting. Not saying he was involved directly, but just made me a victim of it. But they were promoting 2,900 children die from gun violence every year. Again, $10 million to the Super Bowl audience telling you that guns are bad for you. I question spending that money for that demographic, because the majority of those watching football, they're gun owners. But on top of that, they don't mind, again, fudging stats. When they put out these 2,900 deaths, they are not talking about just homicide or even accidental. That includes suicide. Now, when you raise the age of under 20, well, you're talking about 18 and 19-year-old, which might have been involved in gang violence. But they don't care. Whatever they can do to confuse you and buy their way into this election, especially for the Democrats, Bloomberg will do. All right, I mentioned that President Trump was doing an interview in advance of Super Bowl. When we come back, you'll hear some of his comments. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a revolution going on in this country. I mean a positive revolution. So African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, we have the best numbers we've ever had. African-American, the poverty numbers are now reversed, and they're the best that they've ever had. So I don't know how anybody could possibly beat me with that vote. So we'll see how it does.
That is Donald Trump, President Trump, yesterday in an interview with Sean Hannity of Fox before the Super Bowl. And he's absolutely correct. Those numbers spell progress, improvement, a tide that lifts all boats, regardless of your color, your religion, your race, your gender. But that's not the way the Democrats would have you look at it. And Bernie Sanders and the ilk and the socialist push from Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and the Squad and the rest of that group. Saying this, you're not going to be happy. This is not helping you at all. Trump is right. There is a revolution. It's a change for the better. And what he's been doing is working various ways to improve our economy since day one. When he got in and started with the China tariffs, everybody said, oh my God, he's going to destroy our nation. China blinked. Things are back in play again and going great. Farmers suffered for a period of time, but President Trump moved in to get them some subsidies until they could get recovery. And, of course, then he came up with the deal between Mexico and Canada and the U.S. to replace the NAFTA deal, which was terrible for the country. Now it's renegotiated. So what can they run on? Well, all they can run on is that he's a racist, he's a sexist, he's a homophobe. I mean, all the name-calling. But when you look at the facts, there's not anything that could really be attacked. And yet he's been under attack from day one with the resist movement. And, of course, the impeachment, which is continuing even as I speak right now in the Senate. But yet he was asked by Sean Hannity, with all of this that's been going on around you, can, is it possible you can work with Democrats going forward?
Well, I'd like to, but it's pretty hard when you think about it, because it's been such, I use the word witch hunt, I use the word hoax. I see the hatred, I see the level. They don't care about fairness, they don't care about lying. You look at the lies, you look at the reports that were done that were so false, the level of hypocrisy. So I'm not sure that they can do it, to be honest. I think they just want to win, and it doesn't matter how they win.
I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. He could try to do what he can with the Democrats, but right now that hate and resist movement is so strong. And right now they are once again back into the Senate, and the House impeachment managers are continuing closing arguments, and they're going to be followed by the president's defense team later today. Each side gets 2 hours to summarize their case in the Senate. And then after that, senators will be allowed to give statements up to 10 minutes each. There are 100 senators. You want to do the math? They will supposedly vote on the articles of impeachment on Wednesday, and most certainly it's going to be to acquit Trump. And yet you got Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat, one of those named by Nancy Pelosi to be part of the prosecuting team. And he was standing up today that this president represents, in his statement, a clear and present danger to our national security. A clear and present danger. Where's the president going to find any balance to deal with these Democrats when they've had that attitude? When they've been shouting from the beginning, we want to impeach the MF-er. And you got Jeffries today, Hakeem Jeffries, warning senators, condoning the president's, quote, obstruction would strike a death blow to the impeachment clause in the Constitution, stopping just short of crossing the line that Judge Roberts called on Nadler the other day, suggesting, or Schiff, that you're a treasonous if you don't support the Democrats. But he's walking the line. He's making his case the best he can. And then you got Nancy Pelosi. She set all this in motion by choosing the prosecuting team. And, of course, from the very beginning was against impeaching Trump and said, if we're going to have it, it's got to be bipartisan. There was no bipartisan vote to move it ahead in the House. None. The only bipartisan vote was that it should be thrown out. So she kind of got caught, and she realized the train was leaving the station without her. And she's the leader of the House since the Democrats control it. So she had to run and jump in front of the train and grab hold and get on board. But in that interview yesterday, President Trump said she's still very lost with her party.
I think she's a very confused, very nervous woman. I don't think she wanted to do this. I think she really knew what was going to happen, and it's her worst nightmare has happened. I don't think she's going to be there too long either. I think that the radical left, and she's sort of radical left too, by the way, but I think the radical left is going to take over.
The radical left. And based on what we're seeing with the numbers right now with Bernie Sanders, how he's going and beginning to pull ahead of Biden, and beginning to narrow the gap in South Carolina, which was a stronghold for Biden. The radical left takes over. Nancy Pelosi will not have a position as House Speaker if they hold the House anyway. You can look for a member of the squad, maybe Ocasio-Cortez, somebody from that ilk to take over. And Nancy Pelosi's makeup will crack in 1,000 pieces when she realizes they're taking the gavel away from her. That's why it's important this election, not so much to focus just on the presidential election, which is vital, but you got to look at House races to win the House, get it away from the Democrats, or, as Senator Lindsey Graham has acknowledged, these folks are going to try it again. He said there's already comments from Speaker of the House Pelosi and Congresswoman Tlaib. He said the only way this is going to end is when American people reelect Donald Trump in November and fire Nancy Pelosi. So if you want to exonerate the president, American people, you want to deter future impeachments like this, make sure President Trump gets reelected, and let's fire Nancy Pelosi. And the way that happens is Democrats lose control of the House. And President Trump last night in this interview with Sean Hannity was asked, how are you feeling as you look at all these things and all the attack dogs that have been sicked on you time and time again, even if there's nothing there? How do you handle it? How are you holding up? These are the basically questions from Sean Hannity to the president. That what's your overview of all these attacks?
It's been very unfair from the day I won, and I really say from far before the day I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our future First Lady, who's doing such a good job. To be honest with you, I think it probably started from there. It's been a very, very unfair process. The Mueller report, Russia, as you say, which was total nonsense. It was all nonsense. The whole thing was nonsense. But it was a very unfair, and mostly it was unfair to my family. I mean, my family suffered because of all of this, and many other families suffered also. It was a very, very, it's a very serious thing. It should never happen to another president.
It shouldn't, but it will, and it'll happen again to this president if the House continues to be controlled by the Democrats. Now, in the next hour, we're going to deal more with Adam Schiff and his comments about where we're going at this point. As I said in the opening monologue, if Adam Schiff's lips are moving, he's lying. And I'll break it out for you in the next hour. But Adam Schiff and others have made it very clear that they're not going to be satisfied until they get President Trump's scalp and basically get him out of office, one way or the other. Lindsey Graham again, Republican South Carolina. I'll read his quote again. It's only going to end when the American people reelect Donald Trump in November and fire Nancy Pelosi. And also, Graham pointed out Chuck Schumer in the Senate. The minority leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, he's got to be concerned because, according to Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer is having AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, breathing down his neck in terms of a Democrat primary. Chuck Schumer scared to death to lose his job to AOC. And he said that's why this debacle continued in the Senate. See, the game plan for these guys is long ball. They're going to definitely continue. If Trump wins re-election, they're going to continue. If they continue to hold the House, they definitely will file new impeachment. If they lose the House, they'll still fight for it. If by chance they hold the House and they win the Senate, Trump will be impeached fully. That's how critical this is going into this election. On what about John Kerry? Could he suddenly surface to run? Why did he get upset with someone suggesting that? And then also an apology for Hillary Clinton. An apology for Hillary Clinton? Oh, you got to hear this. Please, stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, as you know, the other day, Hillary Clinton fired a shot at Bernie Sanders, saying that nobody likes him. He was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He gets nothing done. And, of course, Bernie later said, well, on a good day, my wife likes me. I like that answer. I thought that's funny. But that statement from Hillary came up the other day at a gathering over the weekend, Saturday, at a Bernie Sanders campaign event in Iowa. And when they started quoting Hillary Clinton about saying that about Bernie Sanders, some of the crowd started booing Hillary, booing Hillary. Well, the moderator tried to hush everybody and said, we're not going to boo. We're going to be classy here. But Congresswoman Tlaib, who was on the stage, objected and said, no, I'll boo, boo. You all know I can't be quiet. No, we're going to boo. That's right. The haters will shut up on Monday when we win. When we win. That's what she said anyway. But since then, she's said, well, you know, I need to apologize to Hillary. I was just frustrated by attempts to dismiss the strength of the Sanders movement. I just got caught up in it. I shouldn't have done it. And basically, I regret booing Hillary Clinton at the Sanders event because the Sanders supporters deserve better. So sad, Congresswoman Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan. But in her heart of hearts, you know. You know she wanted to boo, and probably still was. Boo Hillary. Boo Hillary. There was another story that happened over the weekend that caused a lot of consternation among the Democrats. Former Secretary of State John Kerry was in a hotel restaurant in Des Moines, Iowa, in the Renaissance Hotel, and talking apparently about warning about the very real possibility that Bernie Sanders could take down the Democrat Party, take it down whole. Now, Kerry is backing Joe Biden. And then after he apparently had made the remarks about Bernie could take down the Democrat Party, in other words, destroy the Democrat Party, there was someone quoting him that he might consider launching a run for the White House himself, realizing that maybe it'll take somebody like me to beat Bernie. Woo, that set Kerry off. He put out the remarks that are somewhat uncharacteristic in public form anyway, and that is, no. He said, any report that I'm running for president is effing false. He said, I told the reporter I'm absolutely not running for president. That's what he put on his tweet account. I'm absolutely not running for president. Any report otherwise is effing false. I've been proud to campaign with my good friend Joe Biden, who is going to win the nomination, beat Trump, make an outstanding president. So Kerry's denying that he could run or that he would run for president. You know where we're going with this, folks, the way it is right now? Kerry recognizes Biden might not pull this off. If Sanders is picking up more support in Iowa, and if the Des Moines Register with their poll suddenly decided, well, we can't release it because a mistake was made, we left off Pete Buttigieg's name on the survey, so it's not a complete survey. I remind you again, he would not have pulled but one or two, maybe 3 points, tops. It would not have affected the overall candidates at the top, which would be Bernie Sanders. But for that reason, because his name got left off and because I'm sure it showed Bernie very strong, they decided to ditch it. They just got rid of it. They set it on fire. Although I keep waiting for someone to come forward and say, I got a copy of that. Let's take a closer look at it. And now the DNC is changing the rules up so Michael Bloomberg can appear at the next debate in Vegas later this month. and Biden's losing ground in South Carolina, and Bernie's gaining ground. Do you think we're going to end up in Milwaukee having a brokered convention? A brokered convention where no one can get the full number of delegates they need on the first ballot, maybe a second ballot, maybe a third ballot. And finally, they say, we're going to need to put something together. And then all of these caucuses and the primaries will mean nothing for the Democrats in charge of that convention. That would be the DNC, backed by Hillary Clinton, funded a lot right now by Michael Bloomberg. And they already don't like Bernie and are afraid that he could cost them the election. And they might just say, you know what, let's forget all of that stuff. Let's just do it right here in closed doors and do our brokered convention. It could happen that way. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Adam Schiff and his lips are moving, how many lies he's telling, and my view on the Super Bowl halftime yesterday. Too sexy for children?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.